Thank you, Richard, Mary. And Richard, I got to tell you, brother, when I see that happen like that right there, it makes me feel a lot better about my preaching. And if y'all don't think it happens, let me share this with you. About 4 weeks ago, some of you probably picked up on it. I know my wife did. About 4 weeks ago, y'all know sometimes or most of the time I use notes. And I have my pages numbered like they're supposed to be, okay? Well, I left page one at home. And I didn't know that till I got right here. That's a bad feeling, I want you to know. It's a bad feeling when you forget your notes. But I love you, Richard. I'm cutting up with you. You know what's beautiful about that? That's unto the Lord, and he's still smiling.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, brother. I love this young man right here. He's so willing to read every week.
Right there, brother.
Tell him where you at.
I'm starting at St. Luke, number 17, verses 11 through 19. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Familiar story. In keeping with the theme that we began last week, talking about Thanksgiving specifically for our veterans, not only of the armed services, but also the veterans of the faith, this is a wonderful story here told by Jesus. There are other things in this particular chapter that talks about Thanksgiving, but I want to share something with you. This is a true story as it was told unto me. Fella got off of work a little bit late in the afternoon. It was extremely cold outside. As a matter of fact, it was actually snowing just a little bit, and he's on his way home down the interstate from a very long day at work. And when he noticed some flashing lights off the side of the road, only to realize that this was a limousine that had been over in the safety lane. So being the person that he was, he pulled his truck over to the side and he went over there, and there was a fellow standing dressed in a tuxedo standing at the back of the car trying to figure out exactly what to do. So he looked at him, he says, Is there any way I can help you, sir? And he said, Well, yeah, we have a flat. He said, I'm pretty sure we have a spare there, but I'm not real sure that I know how to take care of that. And the guy said, Not a problem. I've got Jack in my truck. I kicked the Jack in my truck. We'll take care of this. It's not a problem if you'll show me where the tire is. So he showed him where the spare tire was. The young man jacked the car up and removed the tire, put the spare on, and put the other flat tire back into the trunk. And about that time, the back window came down, and a gentleman was sitting there, and he says, I just want to let you know how much I appreciate what you did. Said, You didn't have to do that. And he said, Oh, sir, listen, I understand that. He said, I've been where you are. I know what that's like to have a flat tire on the side of the road. And he said, just pay it forward. Just pass it on. And he said, You mean I don't owe you anything? And he said, You don't owe me anything. And he said, Sir, I'd like to have your name and your address if you don't have a problem with that. And he said, I'll be happy to give that to you. So he did. And it wasn't but about 10 days later, the young man received a check in the mail to pay off his mortgage. And the gentleman in the back seat, Donald Trump. Nearly 10 years ago, before he was our president. Thankfulness. Is it a season? Is it an event? Or is it a lifestyle? I would strongly suggest, based on many of the words of Jesus, that it's a lifestyle. that it's a daily thing that you and I wake up. And I've heard it said so many different ways. Every day above ground's a good day. You know, if you're still walking on the green, you know, my dad taught it pushing up daisies. If you're not pushing up daisies, and you've heard all those things about, you know, being above ground, any day above ground's a good day. Those are statements. What about the mentality that goes with that? Is there anything in the Word of God that would indicate that maybe there's an expectation for you and I that when good things happen in our life, we ought to be thankful? I'm one of those guys that if I let you out in traffic, I really would just appreciate this. Not looking for a parade. I don't want a balloon. I don't want to be a film at 11. Just raise your hand. You know, I'm one of those guys. And my wife will tell you when I don't get that, I still say thank you. But it's sarcastic. Yeah. Oh, so you don't have a button? You don't have a button anywhere? Am I the only guy? I'm the only person the sinner needs to be saved by grace here today? Come on, folks, let's get real for a second. We don't like traffic, do we? This is the wrong place to live if you're anywhere near I-4. This story that Jesus tells here is extremely powerful because he's been talking about Thanksgiving. If you look up at verse 9, talks about, you know, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? You know, and it's the whole point of Jesus' life was an example of thankfulness. The way he did ministry, the way he loved people, those that could approach him, and they were welcome in their approach to him, and it was everybody was welcome in his presence. So on this story that's being told here that Nicholas just read to you a moment ago, it says that in verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. In other words, he's kind of on the border between Samaria and Galilee. And what we find out, if you go back to chapter 9 in the Gospel of Luke, and we won't take that time, but chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus, the word says he steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus knew when he began to make this journey to Jerusalem, that it would be his final journey to Jerusalem. He was on his way to the cross, and he understood that. But while he was there, it says, as he entered into a certain village, and it doesn't tell us what name, and it's really irrelevant. It doesn't matter what village it is. It said, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off there. You know, that's it's kind of unusual that Jesus would be anywhere around Samaria because Jews didn't have anything to do with Samaritans. They were not friends. And there's no BFF deal with the Samaritans and the Jews. They just simply did not like one another. But I find it interesting here because they shared a common disease, leprosy. And I won't bore you to death with leprosy. I'm just telling you it was a miserable rotting of the flesh unto death, which is very unlikely that it would ever be cured except by a miracle. So these guys had little or nothing to look forward to. They had nothing to lose by calling out Jesus' name. It says very clearly that they were together here. So their common disease had broken down all the racial barriers that might have been there. It had broken down all the national barriers that had been there because what they were, irregardless of where they were from, they were men in need of a miracle. They were men in need of God and his power. And I find it very interesting here because they were able to come together because they had a common disease. So it didn't matter whether or not it was Jew and Samaritan together here. They were all lepers and they needed a miracle from God. But what I find is very interesting here because verse 12 says that they stood afar off. Well, why was that? Why didn't they just walk up to Jesus and speak to him? Well, if you go back into the Old Testament law in the book of Leviticus, we understand that lepers were forbidden to stand within a certain distance of those who did not have that disease. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 46 states very clearly these words, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp shall his habitation be. And if you go back one more verse up, forward to verse 45, it said, as they approached someone, they had to yell out, unclean, unclean. And that was their life as a leper. That's what they had to look forward to. So when the Bible tells us that in verse 13, it says they lifted up their voices, it would be like you and I saying they had to shout to Jesus from a distance. Because by law, they weren't allowed to get close enough to Jesus for him to do anything with them or for them. They had to shout out and lifted up their voices to Jesus. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They were requesting something that they had no power to do for themselves. So Jesus basically hears them. And what I loved about this process is when you read verse 14, it says, and when he saw them, he said unto them, don't miss that. Don't miss that. When he looked at them. That's a powerful word. There are a number of words in the Greek that have to do with the idea of saw. In English, we write down saw, and that's really about all it is. You see, we can have things as a casual glance, and we can see it, not think much about it, not be moved by it. I mean, you can't help what you see. Sometimes you can help what you look at, but you can't help what you see. But here is an intentional seeing of Jesus, of these men. And not only did he see them, but he saw their disease, but he saw them as men worthy of a healing. And I found this very interesting. Moses, when he met God at the burning bush, the scripture says, and when he had turned aside, when Moses had actually stopped his movement and paid attention to what was going on in the burning bush. So there are moments, and what I want you to hear, what I want you to see this morning is that Jesus intentionally not only looked at them by design, but he heard what they said. A lot of people, you can't get their attention for even a second or two. But this is Jesus we're talking about here. And notice what he said that they needed to do. Go show yourself unto the priest. So he's not going to do anything with them. He's not going to walk up and touch them here. He just said, you need to leave from where you are and you need to go show yourself unto the priest. Now, why is that interesting? You know, the command of Jesus here really is nothing less than a demand for their faith to believe that if they do what they were told to do, there would be healing for them. They were to go to their priests in the confidence that prior to their arrival, they would be healed. Now, that takes some great faith, folks. If you think about it this way, if you had a disease and you knew that there was no cure for it, and the only way you could get any help with this was to get the attention of Jesus Christ, Master and Lord, would you not yell out as loud as you could to get his attention? Would you not want him to look your way? Of course you would. But Jesus tells them, he doesn't heal them on the spot. He says, you need to do like I share with you. You need to do as I tell you to do. Go ahead and show yourself to the priest. There would be no reason to show themselves to the priest if they were not going to be healed. But they still have to have faith that this is going to happen if they do what Jesus told them to do. So he honors their request for mercy. And it says, you know, prior to their arrival there, they're going to be healed. You know, all of them obeyed the command, and the word of God says that all of them were healed. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I believe that Jesus does his best work in you and I when we live in obedience to his commands. Now, I'm satisfied that that's where the best work in Jesus' life toward you and I begins, when we not only listen and know that he's looking and paying attention, but that we do as we have been instructed. The entire book of Joshua is an example of the children of Israel getting ready to cross into the promised land. And I've brought this up before, but it's just a tremendous illustration. Joshua is leading them. Moses is dead and gone. Joshua is now their new leader. They are at the river. They are ready to cross the river and step into the promised land that God had promised them so many years ago. They were going to be the generation that was going to have the privilege to live in the promised land. And Joshua told them in no uncertain terms, when you go there, every place you put your foot down belongs to you as it has been promised to you by God. And he said, then he said this, don't look to the right and don't look to the left, but stay straight ahead. And he basically said to them, and the whole book of Joshua is a whole illustration of obedience equals success and disobedience equals failure. For these lepers, the obedience of their command from Jesus would equal cleansing, and their disobedience would basically equal death because they would eventually die from the disease that they had. So Jesus requested their request for mercy. They didn't ask for medical attention right there or treatment right there, because really and truthfully, there was nothing or very little that could be available to be done. Leprosy just generally and usually ended up in death. They knew that if their condition was to be changed, it would be by a miracle of healing from God. Sometimes, especially prior to you and I giving our life to Christ, we're living like we have spiritual leprosy, and there's no way to cure that. Shared with a Sunday school class this morning, and I've shared it before, but it's just meaningful to me. It took me a long time to get to the place where I received the Word of God and became a Christian. I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I've said over and over again, if the old pews were still there at Berea Baptist Church, I feel pretty sure that the third row from the back on the left-hand side would have my nail prints somewhere in the wood. And maybe you can relate to that. There have been invitation after invitation after invitation that I sat there and I resisted the call of the Spirit of God on my life. I knew what I needed to do, but I refused to be willing to do it. And it took an act of God. It took an act of the power of the Holy Spirit, making the Word of God real to me. And having had a revival that week, the evangelist, sometime during that week, sat me down in Diane's house at the time, because her dad was pastor, and he witnessed to me and asked me, would I like to receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior? And I managed to get by with no long enough until he let me alone. But I went home after the final night of the revival on a Friday night, and the Spirit of God was making it real to me that nothing was going to change me but God. That was the power that I needed to change me. And fortunately, and the blessing that I received was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. The power of the Spirit of God making the Word of God real to me was so intense that I needed to do something about it. And crying, I got up and went and got my mom and dad out of bed. And I told them, I need to be saved. I need to receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior and thank God and praise unto Him. That very morning, beside my bed, in my bedroom, I stopped fighting it. You see, these lepers didn't have any hope, and they knew it. And folks, I'm just saying to you as lovingly as I know how, when Jesus said there's only one way to the Father, and that was through Him, He meant that. He meant that. So we hear a lot of things in our ears, the culture that we live in and the things that we get taught or we get spoken in our ears. We need to understand that the truth is what sets us free. We need to understand that the truth of the Word of God is what causes us to have those kinds of moments. They knew that if their condition was going to be changed, they were going to need a miracle. I think that my salvation and your salvation in many ways, folks, is a miracle. Because I know where I was, and I know where I was headed, and I know what my life was going to look like if I didn't change my path. So their healing, if they got healed, they would have understood that, and anyone watching them would have understood that. They would have considered that to be a very specific act of the grace and the mercy and the love of God, that they would be able to be saved. They needed a supernatural touch, and they knew that they needed a supernatural touch. And I'm satisfied today that as I share this with you, there are things in our lives that require a supernatural touch. And that's the touch that the Holy Spirit provides. I'm not talking about witchcraft or some other crazy kind of stuff. I'm simply talking about the supernatural touch of the Son of God through the Holy Spirit. And then the story takes a very interesting twist. Here we have this magnificent story of 10 guys with no hope for a future, crying out to Jesus Christ, "Have mercy on us, Master and Lord." They recognize who he was. Even lepers got the news that this guy causes the lame to walk and he causes the deaf to hear. And he heals people. And as beautiful as that story is on their way, they get healed. So what's next? And one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And then you have this really interesting phrase, and he was a Samaritan. 9 Jews and a Samaritan got healed that day, and one of them took the time to go back and say thank you. And this is going to matter to Jesus. You would think, why? He's the Son of God. That's just second nature for him. He can do that anytime he wants to. Jesus can speak and things can happen. He can touch and people can be healed. He can speak and he can fix things. Why would it matter to Jesus if they didn't all come back? Well, you know what? It does. Because Jesus expects them and you and I to live thankful. And I'll be honest with you. I think that we need that as bad today in America and around the world as we have ever needed it in any generation in history. And I'm satisfied. If it matters to Jesus, brothers and sisters, it ought to matter to you and I. If it's something that he did in his life because it was the right thing to do for the right reason, it ought to be something that we have in our life, and it ought to be what we do for the right, in the right way and for the right reason as well. One of those guys turned back, and with the same kind of loud voice that he requested healing, he went back and he began to praise Jesus Christ for what he had done. He went back and he said thank you in a very, very special way. It said he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet and giving him thanks. And that word is linear. In other words, he didn't just say it one time. He kept on saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a lifestyle of appreciation. It's something that you and I ought to do. It was a plea with a loud voice to be healed, and now it's a praise with a loud voice because he was healed. Notice the words it says, turned back. It's almost as if you have in your mind's picture that he started to walk away like the rest of them, but he couldn't. So he turned around and he went back to Jesus, and all by himself, he was grateful enough to come back and fall on her knees and worship Jesus. And why is that important? Because Jesus would say, and he was a, and the story says he was a Samaritan. Samaritans were half Jews. They were Jewish, that Jews had married into other cultures. And the tragedy of all that was that the other gods that were worshipped by other cultures got introduced into their lives, and many of them became idol worshipers. And it was a very bad thing for the Jewish nation and for the Jewish people. It was difficult. He was a non-Jew. And Jesus basically said to him, and I thought this question was, it wasn't that Jesus didn't know. He says, were there not 10 cleansed in verse 17? Where are the 9? You do the math. What do you think? Do we have 10% of Americans who live thankful? Or is that figure too large? Or is it too small? Do we wake up in the morning and thank God for the little stuff? Not just the big stuff? I have a real good friend in Lakeland. I asked him, Brother Lloyd, when I went to church with him, I said, Brother Lloyd, how are you doing today? Oh, man. He said, every day's a great day. Or every day's a good day. And then he'd look at me and he'd smile and he'd say, oh, but some days are better. And you'd love that. Every day's a good day, but some days are better. Yeah, better than what? Better than being dead. Better than being lost. Better than being hungry. Better than being homeless. Lloyd Beard helped me understand something that was incredible. Every day I wake up is a good day. Just some of those days are better. But see, I can be, my whole heartbeat can be changed. My attitude can be changed. My opinions can be affected. And trust me, Diane, you cannot speak now. I need some of those opinions tweaked. Oh, don't you laugh at me. You got them too. Come on now. Don't play the holy card. We're Southern Baptists. We got issues. Okay? Yeah, thank you. God bless you, Lizzie. Somebody's going to trust me here. I don't know. But think about it for just a minute. Jesus was concerned because 90% of the guys that he helped that day in a life-changing and a life-preserving miracle lived as though they were entitled. Yeah. The preacher didn't stop preaching now and gone to meddling. Maybe so. Hear me out. If you live entitled, may I encourage you highly to get over that? Because there are a whole lot of people that provided for you to be where you are now. Jesus was concerned that 9 out of 10 guys that walked away thought maybe they deserved to be healed instead of appreciated being healed. And that rubs right down where we live, doesn't it? Let's just get real, folks. We sometimes get focused on all the things that are wrong and disappointing. And those things color our attitudes and they color our opinions. And we can't seem to see some of the most important things. And I meant to bring it, and I forgot to bring it. You've seen a little illustration where you have a blank piece of paper, like a typing paper, and then you draw a dot right in the middle of the paper with an ink pen, and then you hold that up for people to see, and you say, well, what do you see? And most people say, I see a black dot. There's a little dot in the middle of that paper. They got some kind of circle in the middle of that paper. And you know what? That's true. But the point is guess how much white there is all around that paper, all around that dot. So many times we're focused to see only the things that are disappointing, only the things that wind up being the black dot in our life, only the things that are in the center. Our peripheral vision gets shut down. Our attitude and our opinions, oftentimes, they kill our peripheral vision. We can only see. We see with blinders on. Jesus is trying to help us understand here that Thanksgiving is not a season. Thanksgiving is not an event. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Thanksgiving is a wake-up call to say, thank you, God. People ask me how I'm doing sometimes, and I respond like this. They look at me like I got 3 heads. I said, well, let me consider that for a second. Yep, I slept inside last night. And I ate yesterday. And I got one person that I know for sure loves me, no matter what. So guess what? I'm doing real good. Do you realize if you've got those 3 things in your life, that you're way ahead of about 90% of this entire planet that we live on? Listen, church, I'm not picking on you this morning. I'm just simply saying to you, you choose your attitude. You do. And I've heard people say, oh, you don't understand. That's just the way I am. Well, no, that's the way you choose to be, and you need to get over it because it's wrong. It doesn't honor God. It causes issues and problems for people. Jesus said, weren't there 10 of those guys cleansed? Where's the other 9? Do they not appreciate anything? Wouldn't it have been appropriate if they just, like the guy in the traffic, if they just would have turned around and waved their hand at Jesus, probably would have been enough. Verse 18 says, they are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. The one guy that shouldn't probably have come back because he wasn't Jewish and Jesus was. The one guy that probably would not have understood the great blessings of God upon the Jewish nation. The one guy who probably wouldn't have been wrapped up in the truth that these Jewish men knew was the only guy out of the bunch that turned around and came back to glorify God for a life-changing and a life-promoting miracle. Wow. Wow. I think that that unthankfulness unfortunately runs rampant in our country and around the world. Just like the 9 ungrateful Jews, many people today live with a sense of entitlement and they fail to live thankful for the things that they do have. I think it was Grady Judd. They asked him a question. So, what are you going to do about this? You don't have that. And he says, well, we're not going to let what we don't have compromise what we do. And we're not going to let what we can't do compromise what we can do. And I love little quotes like that because that sort of gets it right. And what did Jesus say? Why was that important to Jesus? And he said to him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Those other guys got a healing of leprosy, but you know what? They didn't get a single thing spiritually. They're going to be lost lepers. The word whole here has something to do with salvation, not just healing physically. Their ungratefulness, you know, this ungratefulness that we have as a country is a disease just like leprosy. And I believe that it affects more people than leprosy ever affected in the history of the world. 9 out of 10 had been healed in vain because they still had the same selfish spirit that they came there with. And they walked away from this life-changing experience without a spiritual life-changing experience. And in some ways, folks, they were worse than before. Jesus was clear when he said to the Samaritan, your faith will make you whole. Verse 14 says that as they went, they were healed. The going was an act of faith, and the healing was dependent upon the going. And obedience links itself to healing, sometimes physical, sometimes spiritual, sometimes emotional, sometimes mental. Let's just get real with it. Jesus recognized what we recognize today as well, maybe 10% of the people that we live with on this planet really and truthfully live thankful. So if I can encourage you today, I want to do that. I'm not trying to be negative as much as I'm just trying to be real and honest. Thanksgiving, my friends, it's not a season. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. So let me encourage you, live thankful. It will change the way your day goes. It may not change your circumstances, but I can assure you that it will change you, and it will change you for the better. Begin to look at what you have, not what you don't have. Begin to look at what you can do, not what you can't do. Begin to look at how you have been blessed, irregardless of your planning. God is a God that loves you and takes you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you at that place. Maybe you're here today and you are incredibly ungrateful for whatever reason. Maybe you're here today and you would be real with this preacher and you'd say, you know what, if I died on my way home today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm as lost as yesterday as far as I know. That can change today. You can begin to live thankful, and the first thing you can be thankful for is that Jesus Christ died for you so that you could live thankful. Would you do that today? Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you need some time at the altar. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend. I am not the Holy Spirit. but he knows what you need. And if he's speaking to you today, would you make that choice, make that call today? Stand with me and we'll pray. Father, thank you. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here, Lord, needs to know you, they make that choice today. Any decision that needs to be made, God would give you the praise and the glory for it well in advance. And dear Lord, we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And God, help us to live that way as well. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you come?